Let's get ready to study God's Word. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and it's time for another devotional study. Please be sure to visit us at BibleStudy.ASBZone.com, where you can find links to our previous episodes and various Bible study resources. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into our study. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy to us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the promise of the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and understanding. Please enlighten our minds, and may this be a profitable exercise, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's study is entitled The Law of Faith. And our passage for this study comes to us from Romans chapter 3, verses 27 through 28. Reading from the King James Version. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Okay, Romans 3, 27 and 28. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the folks in Rome that he has not yet met. Sent a letter to them. The law of faith. This is the only use of that term, law of faith. So how can we figure out what is being defined here? Well, there's a very interesting principle that we see in the Old Testament. We see in many passages the phrase, the law of something. And it is used generally in the vicinity of its discussion or its description, right? In fact, if you take the King James Bible and you search for the phrase law of, right, those two words used in that order, you're going to come up with 100 verses, 107 matches, 107 instances across 100 verses. Out of that list, you're going to see the most common phrases will be law of God in some variation and law of Moses. So law of God shows up 7 times in 7 verses. Law of the God, as in law of the God of Israel, law of the God of Jacob, that shows up 3 times in 3 verses. Law of the Lord, that's the most common one. Usually law of the Lord, thy God, law of the Lord, law of the Lord God. That shows up 21 times in 21 verses. And then law of thy God shows up 3 times in 3 verses. And law of Christ shows up once. But since Christ is God, putting it in that category here. So law of God, in some variation, shows up 37 times, followed by law of Moses, which shows up 22 times in 22 verses. Those two represent the greatest bulk of a single usage across the Bible. In law of daughter-in-law, of son-in-law, it shows up 4 times. Right? The term son-in-law, daughter-in-law, father-in-law, mother-in-law shows up more than that, but with the of following it, only shows up 4 times. Okay. Those are some of the most common usages of that term. But if we go to Leviticus, the books of Moses in particular, but if you go to Leviticus, you will find another usage of the term law of. In Leviticus 6:9, God tells Moses to tell Aaron. It says, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. Okay, so in Leviticus 6, God has just explained to them what they're supposed to do with the burnt offering, how they're supposed to handle it. And then he says, this is the law of the burnt offering. In Leviticus 6:14, we see this is the law of the meat offering. 6:25, this is the law of the sin offering. So we know in Leviticus, especially in chapter 6, the various offerings were being described. And at the end of their description, the Lord says, this is the law of the, this is the law of whatever I've just described here. Leviticus 7:1, law of the trespass offering. Verse 11, law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. Verse 37, law of the burnt offering. Leviticus 11:46, here's some interesting ones. This is the law of the beasts and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth upon the waters. Do you remember what this, what Leviticus 11 is about? This is the chapter that discusses what is good, clean for food of the animal kingdom. Okay, so how is it phrased? This is the law of the beasts. In Leviticus 13:59, now chapters 13 and 14 of Leviticus deal with leprosy in various forms. 13:59 says, this is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment of woolen or linen. Leviticus 14:2, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Okay, for verse 14, verse 32. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy. Okay, now sometimes that phraseology occurs just before the description is given, and sometimes the instructions are given, and then just after the instructions, it says, what I just said, this is the law of X. Okay, there are others. There are other passages. This is the law of him that hath an issue. This is the law of jealousies. This is the law of the Nazarite. Okay, this is the law of the Nazarite who hath vowed. Okay. These phrases are used in the vicinity of instructions given on the particular topics. This is exactly how the term law of faith is used. This is how Paul uses it. We're going to see that now that I've set that background. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. And we're going to start at 21. Okay? We're going to start at 21, and we're going to go back to 28. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Just as an aside, we have a podcast on the law in a general sense. And you'll want to take a listen to that. It will be linked in this podcast, in the notes for this podcast. The law here manifested, righteousness of God without the law. The law here being discussed is the ceremonial law in this particular passage. And then the second time he uses it, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, he's referring to the books of Moses, right? Or the scriptures. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Okay, so in this chunk here, my Bible happens to title it The Righteousness of God Through Faith. In this chunk of scripture from verse 21 through verse 28, which encompasses only three sentences, just so you know, Paul is laying out the foundation to us, to the Romans initially, but to us, of how righteousness by faith works. Okay? This is called the law, the instruction of faith, the law of faith. Okay? Using the same principle that we use when we looked at Leviticus and Numbers, and we saw that instruction was given pertaining to a particular topic, and then that was referred to, that instruction was collectively referred to as the law of X, the law of burnt offering, the law of meat offering, the law of leprosy, etc., and so on. The law of faith here is defined by the statements that he presented about faith. But there's more. There are very few topics in the Bible that are discussed only in one place. For instance, the topic of love, particularly God's love, is discussed in many places. The Apostle John writes about it directly, more than almost any other writer in Scripture. But in 1 Corinthians 13, we have a concentrated and consolidated view of love, how love works, what are the attributes of true love, right? We consider that the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 can rightly be seen as the law of love because it gives us the instruction about all of the attributes and importance of love. With that in mind, where can we go to get the most concentrated perspective of faith? That would be Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. We'll start at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, and verse 6 is very key. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Okay. Now, the rest of Hebrews 11 goes on to show people who manifested great faith and the manner in which they did. Hebrews 11:1 described faith for us, gave us a definition for faith. But Hebrews 11:6 gives us instruction associated with faith, not just a description, not just examples, but definitive instruction. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not only must you believe that God exists, but you must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's instruction. That's not just a definition. That's not just an explanation. That is a command. Okay? So what we have here in Hebrews 11, it's not the only place that faith is discussed. Clearly, we just came out of Romans 3. We read faith and its relationship to salvation. But here is definitive, consolidated, concentrated instruction, definition, example of faith. This is the law of faith. Faith is vital to our Christian experience. Faith is vital to our existence. So when Paul references the law of faith, he's referencing all of these concepts. It doesn't matter that these things weren't necessarily written in sequence, right? It is very likely that he wrote the book of Romans prior to writing the book of Hebrews. But it is not strictly, hey, I wrote this, and this alone constitutes the law of X. Okay? When God was giving the instruction to Moses, and he was saying, here's the law of burnt offering and meat offering, there was obviously a tie between his command, his instruction, and the timing of it, right? But when it comes to faith, it's not as though Hebrews 11 is the first time faith is discussed in the Bible or the only time. But it is a concentrated time. Similarly, 1 Corinthians 13 is not the first place that love was discussed or the only place that love was discussed. But it gives us a tight, consolidated perspective of the attributes of love as they pertain to God and as they should pertain to us. The law of faith is, at the end of the day, the instruction on the role, purpose, and application of faith in the Christian experience, in the same way that the law of the meat offering and the law of peace offerings and the law of the beasts and of the fowl, in the same way that those constitute the instruction on how they should be used or performed, Hebrews 11 and the snippet we read in Romans 3 all are part of the law of faith and help us to understand its significance to the Christian and how it should be applied in the Christian experience. Hebrews 11 is definitely the greatest concentration of instruction in the Bible on the law of faith. Romans 3, 27 and 28 says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and your goodness. We thank you for helping us as we went through these passages to understand how Paul was applying the phrase, the law of faith. Help us to use that same approach when we're looking at other things in the Bible so that we can understand how previous usage affects later usage. We ask you to be with us and bless us. Help us to live in accordance with your law of faith. And help us, Lord, to put our trust in you completely. And please save us, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. You can reach us via email at biblequestions@asbzone.com. We look forward to hearing from you, whether you have questions, comments, suggestions, or concerns. We also recommend that you check out the True Wisdom podcast, where Robert and I discuss Bible stories and topics together. Both of these podcasts can be found on a variety of platforms, including Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more. Please remember our ministries in your prayers. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you prayerfully study and share His holy word.